Food is not just calories. Food is information for your cells. What we choose to eat consistently either fuels healing and resilience or inflammation and dysfunction. So today, I want to talk about these 7 foods I personally stopped eating in for cancer because they contribute to that kind of inflammatory environment and may increase your risk for cancer. So let's get started. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to start with something really important, okay? No single food causes cancer. Cancer is not caused by one meal, one ingredient, or one decision. What matters much more is the environment we create inside of our body over time. Cancer tends to thrive in environments of chronic inflammation, metabolic dysfunction, and oxidative stress and immune suppression. Okay. On the flip side, our bodies also have incredibly powerful systems designed to repair DNA, regulate inflammation, and eliminate abnormal cells before they ever become a problem. So the question becomes this: are we creating an environment inside of the body where cancer can thrive? Or are we creating an environment where it struggles to survive? And one of the most powerful tools we have to influence that internal environment is our nutrition. When I talk about nutrition with my clients, I always say this: food is not just calories. Food is information for your cells. Every time we eat, we are sending signals to our body that influence inflammation, hormone balance, blood sugar, detoxification pathways, gut health and immune function, and even gene expression. There's actually an entire field of science called nutritional epigenetics, which studies how nutrients can turn certain genes on and off. Meaning what you eat can influence whether genes involved in inflammation, repair, or disease risk are activated or suppressed. And the incredible part is that this is something we have 3 opportunities every single day to influence: breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and sometimes snacks in between. So what we choose to eat consistently either fuels healing and resilience or inflammation and dysfunction. And I've seen just how powerful this can be in real life. I had a client come to me who was about 3 years out from her breast cancer diagnosis. She was a survivor. She was doing well from a cancer standpoint, but she was really struggling with several metabolic issues. She had developed type 2 diabetes. She had fatty liver disease, and she was carrying extra weight. And she was really battling a pretty intense sugar addiction. And like many people, she didn't necessarily realize how much her daily food choices were influencing what was happening inside of her body. So we started slowly. We didn't overhaul everything overnight, right? We started with just one simple concept: how to eat in a way that stabilizes blood sugar. She began learning how to pair foods properly, combining protein, fiber, and healthy fats, instead of eating just simple carbohydrates by themselves, for example. And something really interesting started to happen. As her blood sugar stabilized, her sugar cravings began to disappear and completely diminish. And when the cravings went down, her inflammation started going down as well. She started sleeping better. She had more energy. She was losing weight, and she became more motivated because she could feel her body responding to these external changes and internal changes. Over time, we continued working on her nutrition, her mindset, and her lifestyle. And by the end of the program, something pretty remarkable happened. She was able to reverse her diabetes, her fatty liver disease resolved, her blood sugar markers normalized, and she lost a significant amount of weight. And perhaps most importantly, she dramatically lowered her risk of a cancer reoccurrence. Because when blood sugar is chronically elevated and inflammation is high, we create an environment in the body that is far more vulnerable to disease. So today, I want to talk about these 7 foods I personally stopped eating in for cancer because they contribute to that kind of inflammatory environment and may increase your risk for cancer. So let's get started. Number one, let's start with one of the most well-researched dietary cancer risks, processed meats. These include foods like bacon, sausage, hot dogs, corned beef, deli meats, pepperoni, salami, charcuterie meats, right? In 2015, the World Health Organization classified processed meats as a group 1 carcinogen, meaning there is strong evidence linking them to cancer, particularly colorectal cancer. So what's happening here? Let's talk about it. Processed meats often contain nitrates and nitrites used as preservatives. When these compounds are heated or digested, they can form cancer-causing compounds, which are known to damage DNA and increase cancer risk. They also tend to contain compounds called advanced glycation end products, or AGEs, which contribute to oxidative stress and inflammation in the body. And chronic inflammation is a key factor in creating a terrain where disease can develop. Okay, so we want to avoid this. Better swaps I always recommend include pasture-raised chicken, grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, roasting your own turkey or roasting your own chicken instead of relying on deli meats. The goal isn't eliminating meat, it's choosing high-quality, minimally processed proteins. Okay, number two, the next one surprises people. It's heavily charred meats, meaning when you're grilling or barbecuing meats. When meats are cooked at extremely high temperatures, especially when they're being grilled or fried, they produce compounds called HCAs and PAHs. The National Cancer Institute explains that these compounds form when muscle meats are cooked at very high temperatures and when fat drips onto open flames, creating smoke. Studies have shown that these compounds can damage DNA and promote tumor formation in experimental models, okay? So now this doesn't mean that you can never grill again or have meat again, but there are ways to reduce this risk, okay? Avoid burning or charring your meats or cut off the end pieces of those meats. Marinate meats in olive oil with vinegar or citrus like lemon, and add herbs like rosemary or garlic, which are high in antioxidants. This provides a protective barrier on the meat. Cook meat at lower temperatures, flip meat frequently, and remove any heavily charred portions on the actual pieces. Cooking methods like baking, roasting, slow cooking, or stewing can significantly reduce the formation of these compounds. Number three, one of the biggest drivers of chronic disease today is ultra-processed foods. We can't get away from it. These include foods like packaged snack foods, chips, fast foods, candy bars, frozen or convenience meals, sugary breakfast cereals, and ultra-processed foods contain just refined sugars, artificial additives, preservatives, industrial oils, and very little fiber or actual real nutrients. A large study published in the British Medical Journal found that higher consumption of ultra-processed foods was associated with increased overall cancer risk, particularly breast cancer. Interesting, right? These foods tend to disrupt the gut microbiome, spike blood sugar, and increase overall inflammation within the body. Better options include whole foods, simple whole cooked meals, and fruits, nuts, yogurt, or hard-boiled eggs for snacks, avoiding the packaged foods. Whole foods send a very different metabolic signal to the body than ultra-processed foods. Number four, foods made with refined sugar and white flour are another major contributor to metabolic dysfunction. Think of foods like pastries, donuts, white bread, cookies, cakes, and again, sugary cereals. These foods rapidly spike blood sugar and insulin levels. Insulin is not just a blood sugar hormone, it's also a growth signaling hormone. And chronically elevated insulin increases levels of IGF-1, a growth factor linked to cell proliferation. So over time, this can contribute to inflammation, insulin resistance, and metabolic dysfunction. Okay, some better alternatives include berries or fruit instead of sugary desserts, whole grains like quinoa or glyphosate-free oats, baking with almond flour or coconut flour, and pairing carbohydrates with protein and fiber to stabilize blood sugar overall. And number five is sugary drinks. Liquid sugar is one of the fastest ways to overwhelm the body metabolically. Some examples include soda, sweetened iced tea, all the different energy drinks out there, the sports drinks like Gatorade, and dessert-style coffee drinks. Some of these beverages can contain 40 to 60 grams of sugar in just one single serving. So a high intake of fructose has been strongly linked to fatty liver disease, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, and metabolic dysfunction is increasingly associated with increased cancer risk as well. Even some trendy coffee drinks today contain enormous amounts of sugar and additives and preservatives. Better swaps include black coffee or making your coffee at home, matcha, herbal tea, sparkling water with citrus, using minimal sweeteners when you are making those drinks at home as well. Number six is industrial seed oils, which are highly processed. Industrial seed oils include oils such as soybean oil, corn oil, canola, cottonseed oil, refined sunflower or safflower oils. These oils are often heavily refined using chemical solvents and very high heat. During this process, they can become oxidized, producing compounds that contribute to chronic inflammation. Many of these oils are also extremely high in omega-6 fatty acids, which when consumed in excess can promote inflammatory signaling pathways. These oils are extremely common in restaurant foods, in packaged snacks, fried foods, and fast food. And that's the problem. We're exposed to them so much. So they're in so many different varieties of food. So we're getting an influx of omega-6 fatty acids in our body through our diet. Some better fats to include are extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, grass-fed butter, ghee, coconut oil, etc. And lastly, number seven is artificially sweetened diet foods, okay? Many foods marketed as diet or even sugar-free can also create a host of problems. These include diet sodas, artificially sweetened drinks, sugar-free candy, and low-calorie, ultra-processed snacks. Artificial sweeteners like aspartame and sucralose have been shown in some research to alter the gut microbiome and influence glucose metabolism. And the gut is deeply connected to immune function. In fact, about 70% of the immune system resides in our gut. So better options can include whole fruit, small amounts of natural sweeteners like honey or maple syrup, and even retrain your palate to prefer less sweetness over time, because we can retrain our taste buds once we kick artificial foods out of our diet. So I want to repeat something that I said at the beginning of this podcast, okay? No single food causes cancer. What matters is the pattern of choices that we make over time. And the beautiful thing about food is that it's something that we can influence every single day. Every meal that we have is an opportunity to create an internal environment that supports immune function and metabolic health. It reduces inflammation and cellular repair. The goal is never perfection, okay? The goal is creating a body where disease struggles to survive and health has the advantage. All right, thank you guys so much for joining me today, and share this episode with someone who's ready to kick off their health journey. It's never, ever too late to start.